getting one of the fans here. I believe you might be better.
Yeah, she kept seeing that ewan. See, that's a nice $25 hat.
It's in the box up in the closet.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Where'd you get that, sir?
That is genuine.
I know. I was just looking at the label.
Yeah.
Well, we made it.
No. Who here makes
I tell you, it's out in the Shiloh community.
Oh, not in Shiloh.
You got a... You tell these things, I can't.
No, I was just thinking. I was born and raised around here, and he knows more about all these nooks and crooks and back roads and...
Well, you know how it is, like New York, and
let me tell you, this is tastes different from any I ever tasted.
Yeah.
But he has. He's been on more back roads than I know exist.
Well, you don't circulate around. Now, if you, where you go to visit, that is little, you get out and
that's
drive around.
Yeah.
It's like from my mama's old home, and somebody says road number so-and-so. I don't know what road number.
Okay, right, just put it there, and they know how to do it.
Goes by her house. I don't know what the number of the roads is.
Make your own call.
Yeah. Get your cup there. I need one more spoon of
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, this is Florence. Florence, you know Gertrude that works for Florence. She's the one. That's all I know about it. And I went out there with them. You know, they wanted to have a little syrup making for the children. So I went along with them.
Yeah.
And
she felt that killing. I believe that's the reason she's skimping on the water.
Well, some people like a kettle to be full, but
You ain't gonna have enough in that to go around.
I don't drink a full one like some people.
You don't?
No, I'm curious.
You.
And one more way. Put a little more, see?
Uh-huh.
So we went out there.
By golly, she knew what she was doing.
And I tell you, I tell you, it was a real outing. It's that colored community out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right out in Shiloh.
Somewhere around there. It's out past Shiloh.
It's over in Levy County.
Shiloh is over in Levy County, by God.
No,
church.
No, it isn't. It's either Marion. It's Marion Levy.
You mean that little Negro church out on the left, going out on the Williston Cut?
No, that's Shiloh.
Ain't that Shiloh?
That's
Walkie Hootie.
That's
on a few miles. Shiloh is right down in the Marion, Levy, Alaska. Did you want sugar?
Oh, that's right. I don't use cream at all. It's like these women, you know, you see them go in and they'll have a piece of pie about that big. You don't eat a bunch of macaroni and cheese and drop a little piece of saccharin in the dough. Keep the weight down.
I don't know that I haven't noticed that.
Yeah, you go around fishing or cherries or someplace like that.
You mean really? You really see that?
Yeah, it's quite often. You want to go to Mars and you know, load those trees.
I went out to one of our friends one time, and they were just living on what is that stuff they had at one time to live on that liquid stuff? Corral.
Metrical.
I forget how it was now, but they either eat a full meal and then took that for dessert, or ate that first and then went in.
And then had dessert? That's probably what they did. Had the Mezcal and then had that dessert.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, I think I know what you're talking about. Drink Mezcal and fill it full of ice cream.
Now, maybe they've just acquired a taste for Mexican. It's like one of the students live in one of the apartment complex, Tony, what is that? Italian, I can't ever think of it. Blumetti. Tony just got his, he's accepted for Harvard. He's a graduate student. He's getting work on the job. But he's a little overweight, so I don't know when about that. There's a little boy out there, too. A cup of yogurt. I said, Jeffy, when he can't, Jeffy can't talk yet. He's not old enough. But the little girl, she's just old enough to talk. I said, Jeffy, what are you doing on a diet? She says, that's daddy's yogurt. Soon, mother says, yeah, but he don't ever get none of it. His kids have acquired a taste for yogurt.
You know, that fellow that's a patient out at the nursing home, you know, the fellow that looks like he's spastic or something and sits out there in the chair. He's a Navy veteran, and he has his problem is he doesn't get enough calories. He can't, all the food they feed him, he doesn't get as much calorie intake as he burns up daily.
Metabolism's that high, huh?
That he, they feed him. Everybody, the things that, you know, the trays other people don't want, like when Big Mama doesn't want her tray, they say, well, give it to Jack. And then anybody doesn't want anything, give it to Jack. Jack will eat it. They give him 5 cans of Nutrien a day. And they said, well, it takes a normal person 30 minutes to eat a can of Nutrien. He consumes it 2 minutes.
How old person?
He's 40, I think it was 47.
And I can't tone his metabolism down, huh?
No, he is being cared for out there for the VA. He's a VA patient. And the VA has him over there.
It must be. Got some bird blood in him, you know. People talking about eat like a bird. You know, a bird eats more than.
Well, one of the nurses out there told me that this is the only patient that she's ever had with that particular problem, that this is the only patient of that type that she's ever taken care of. And they can't give him enough to eat.
When did you know?
And I know who.
Jack Herring and his goats.
When did he have those goats? Must have been about maybe 8 or 10 years ago he had those goats.
Yeah.
He was living like a hermit.
That name's awful familiar, but I can't. What does he do?
Well, you remember, he
goats
just...
I don't know what he's ever done it for a living. What does he do for a living?
Well, he carpenters now, I think. He's settled down now. Well, now, where was this in all, Bonita? I didn't know about the goats.
Back down in the section of town. Do you know where the old P&J Railroad is? I think
there's
some sort of a shop back down there now. I don't know whose shop it is.
Yeah.
But where that depot was? Well, gone back over there, there was a house that he was living in somewhere down there.
You want to buck the yours?
By himself?
Did you get enough in you?
Yes.
And he had goats?
Mm-hmm. I drink it strong.
And he let them run through the house?
Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
He did.
I never go down there and...
He didn't have his house pretty good shape. He couldn't keep them from running in.
You're going
to keep a goat from getting a tired of fits up and going over just to put a board over and let him walk over.
Yeah.
You want to make some money out of you and not have to, you know, not have to look
at him. He used to fish with my brother all the time, with Robert, with Ernie.
Oh, did he?
Before Robert went to move to Ocala.
I'll get you some goats out there.
He was a big fisherman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, fished a whole lot.
Well, I mean, not for a living, just for fun.
Yes, fish.
But all of his life, all I've known him to do was for fun. I've never known him to do much.
Well, can you think of a better thing, reason to do that?
Well, now, that was my impression. That was about all
he
had
done. He was in the Navy.
I didn't know that.
He was in the Navy during World War II.
Yeah. Well, he must have been a captain then in the Navy.
A captain.
Character, huh?
Character. Yeah, in the Navy.
Well, I'm sure he was.
Now, that's the best reason I know to do anything. For the fun. I thought you got the old jug over there.
He's the one and only. We didn't have no more cups.
I mean that jug, young.
That is a jug. Fence post, I mean door stop.
She looks suspicious to me. I'm being from Tennessee.
Let me tell you, what do you know? Tell me about old Frank Hines. I'd love to.
Frank, he made moonshine all his life. Frank, pretty good jokes. He's pretty good old fella. Raised a bunch of young.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, girls and boys.
Raised two girls and two boys. I mean, two boys and two girls.
And that was his headquarters, Meganope?
He lives there now. I guess Frank still lives there now.
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, he
used to bootleg when I was a child.
Well, did he moonshine or bootleg you?
Well, that's the same difference, you know. Where did that term bootlegging come from?
Well, where did it?
I must have been the Tennessee Mountaineers and toted around
bootlegging
in their boots, you know.
Is when it's not legal moonshine, you just make the stuff. I mean, that's
he
stuff
sold
bootlegging
it too.
Is selling it illegally.
That's my understanding. Bootlegging is carried it around.
They used to carry it in their high boots, see, to keep them from falling. And that's where the bootlegging comes
from.
Well,
I think on occasion he's been caught with his car dragging the pavement.
Oh, well, they caught him that time.
There's been a number of times. In fact, I think he served time for the same thing, hadn't he?
I don't think Frank ever would have been a devil not to put old Frank in the pen. Oh, gosh.
He served.
He might have got a little time out of this lake.
He got a little time.
Fuller, the governor was out there at the busting up of the steel. I'm not telling you.
Well,
on the
I
back
can't
of the
remember as
throat.
Recent as
Bryant
being in office.
Yeah, that
he served time.
Well,
I think this was back
well,
years ago.
I didn't
think
he got no time out of that. Yeah. No, Frank ain't hurt nobody out there.
You mean that was just recent while
well,
Bryant was governor?
Well, Bryant was governor. Yeah,
they broke up his steel.
Yeah, Bryant, they captured it out there, and Tommy, that old boy, my brother-in-law, trained him. He's from Trenton. Tommy Dean, his crew was out there, you know, and they done chopped up this steel, and they got the camera in the newspaper. Brother Mixon's out there with his camera.
You know, they broke up one right out here on the pond. At one of the people that are in the old Adams place. What
are
their names? Fixed up the place over here.
Yes, Garriga.
Garriga? What's
their name? There's
a
name there now.
Well, you know, the pond that was right over in front of their house.
Yes.
Well, that was the last still that I know of.
Well, that I know they had the picture. Then I got to looking, and I come through. Then I stopped over my old buddy on that college
garage. Just about to get one out there on Louis Graham's place, and Buddy ran them off.
And I said, "Collie, what you doing?" Getting
very long ago that Buddy ordered.
Well, now you all talk one at a time. Well, I can hear
you.
I'm interested in this. But it seems
I haven't got. Tell me, shut up. He can hear me talk anytime.
I haven't got but one brain.
Oh, what? He don't believe that. Now, he don't believe that.
Go on now.
I don't know that much about the moonshining. It goes in one ear and out my other ear.
Well, now, they was about to go out on Louise Graham's place?
Yes. They were on her place, and her son ordered them off.
Oh. Her son?
Andrew.
Andrew, yes.
Ordered them off the place.
Yes. Well, they didn't have to go.
Well, they did go.
With Andrew.
He had shotguns.
Yes.
And they did leave, and they didn't get back down there. And if they'd gotten his operation, well, they'd have had something.
Somewhere it was.
Well, is he a friend of yours?
No, sir. None of that outfit. I don't claim friendship with.
Well, who is he a friend of? I would love to hear him talk about it.
You're trying to find a friend of his, huh?
I'd love to just to hear somebody talk about moonshine and who's done a little recently.
You interested in going into business,
dog?
Right. Now, wait a minute.
No, that's not the question. I just am interested in it. I just want to. I have a feeling for moonshining.
You do?
Yeah, not the bootlegging side.
The making of it, huh?
Sitting out there, letting the steel do the work. I just...
You like to hear that thumper going, don't you?
Toom, yes.
Toom, toom, toom.
And I don't even care about sampling it. Well, let me tell you, somebody said to me, I said, I've drunk it right warm out of the still. And they said, don't you know no better than that?
It's good for you.
Anything that comes out of a still is cool.
No, it's warm. It is. It's hot enough to almost cold you.
I wouldn't.
It's just condensed.
I wouldn't have said I had drunk it warm out of a still if I didn't know it warm.
That's what I said.
And they had never been there and had it warm out of a still. I had it out of a still. And they had. Now that's what you run into. I'd like to get some of my information straight.
Well, I'll tell you what now. If it's worth your while.
It's worth my while.
I'll take you down there and let you talk to one of the biggest men in the state. And I think old Charlie's still at it, but
yeah,
I don't know. Because my brother-in-law put it, you remember Bud Starr? The beverage agent that was killed in the automobile wreck. And they had Bud Starr in day, Coronel Starwin day in Ocala. And the beverage building is named after him. Well, that was my older sister's husband. Now, Bud was a good, he was a good man. You couldn't buy him. He was under full of warrant. We grew up together in West Florida. But he caught my buddy Charlie Atkins there in chief. See, Charlie, and he's the one you remember when Luther White, Druitt Robbins, the sheriff over in Levy County, and my brother-in-law was the one assaulting him. And he got 2 years for taking payoff. See, Charlie was paying Druitt for 20 barrels. He's paying him $2 a barrel, see. Then he went up to $4. But Charlie had 200 barrels out there that Truett didn't know about. So he's paying him $2 on them 20 barrels, and then he pulled 20 more up there because he's pressuring him. And that is, so he gave him $80 a week, see, for protection. So when the beverage boys would get in there, they didn't, and naturally Truett, the sheriff, would tip them off. And they never did catch them. But they eventually broke the ring up. It was after Ward in Jacksonville who was after them. They didn't get him. But they got Charlie and they got Luther White. And Luther got Earl Faircloth to come up and get him out of it. That big road contractor down there. It's worth, I believe, Sunday last right up. Luther's worth about, I'd say, around $8-10 million now in his own name. But that's how you got Randolph Hodges. Remember, he's the big wheel in the state politics today. Resources, fresh
conservation.
Salt, conservation resources.
There won't be anything left when he gets through.
Well, don't look that way. But they got their start down there running moonshine. I don't kid yourself. You go in and look at those big boats sitting around Cedar Key. The boat's not very large, but they got a powerhouse engine in them. What do? They load it up and you can run across to Cuba. Well, you see, your big problem is getting sugar. The government's got you watched on the sugar deal. If a merchant sells more than a sack of sugar to a customer, well, he's got to get his name and address. More than 100 pounds. So, big thing was getting sugar. This boy wasn't no peanut peddler. He was running a tractor-trailer rig in the Gulf Hammock area. A load of sugar and carrying out a load of moonshine once a week. So he knew what he was doing. Well, my brother-in-law's one, he didn't catch him. He caught everybody but him. Charlie tells me, he says, they're sitting at the commissary, and he put his arm around him and said, now, Charlie, says, I know that you're not so dumb, so you don't know all these deals going on your land down here. He's in charge of the Southern Chemical Company, 6 Mile Turnpike steel down there. It's got miles and miles of timberland in there. He says, I can't believe that you're that dumb. But now I didn't catch you. But now, Charlie, son, you love to run out. But I'm going to catch you. I'm going to put you in jail. But you're a pretty good fella. Because I hate to do it. Says, well, Mr. Starry, I'm going to quit. Says, but now, if you ever catch another steal on the place, so you don't have to come hunt it up or hunt me up. Just let me know. I'll come on in and give myself up. And he left. Charlie says, now, Mr. Starry, wait just a minute. He says, I mean a good steal. Says, I don't mean one of these little coffee pots set up out, yeah. He says, I'll know one of your steals if I see it. Don't worry. Well, Charlie says he's quit. But now there's times when I don't much believe it. He's like Frank. Once you get into it,
it's
hard to turn loose.
Oh, it is.
If you will. But since
well,
the start
like you say,
the
cell's doing the work for you. Why give it up?
Well, what is it that keeps them in it?
Money. It used to be good money in it. You can run whole moonshine is what, about $20 a jug? That's wholesale.
Yeah.
It costs you about $3 to make it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good profit. If you just like to hear it, then he can tell you about it. Because Charlie's not timid a bit, and he can tell you the street stuff. He kind of used to come around and see some man when they called him home. So he was buying Beecham, the Beecham brothers, was doing the transaction for the sugar. They'd hired Willie as a beverage agent because they knew Willie was in the deal, see. But they had to keep a tab on Willie to keep him, so they just hired him as a beverage agent. Night they got them all. I was living in Atlanta. I was reading the accounting of it and says they caught them all, including the beverage agent, Mr. Beecher. But one boy that was running one of the big steals, that we didn't catch him, says, in fact, that boy could run so fast, I believe he could outrun a deer. I said, well, it was one of two people. There's not but two down there, Cicero Shepherd and Rodney Harris. Cicero works in the post office, and it had to be Rod DeHare, and showing up it was. He just flat out run.
Well, now look.
You haven't gotten over into Levy County yet?
You know, my attitude has changed since I came to Florida. The first time I got to Levy County, I got up there with experience I had up in Alachua. I had a little place out there I bought. And it was spring when in March when the wind started to blow, it had blowing away. You had them fences out there, and the old fences, you couldn't see it, and they put a new fence there, see? You know, the fence row was catching like a snow fence. And that's what I thought of Levy County. You see, I had the wrong attitude.
See, the sandstorms, we get them, but you remember now when they made the earth, they made Levy County along with the rest of it, and they're still there, so you got to worry about it.
Yeah, that was where Paul took his first job with the State Board of Health, was in Levy County.
Oh.
And when he accepted that job down there, these other guys at the State Board of Health said, what in the world do you want to go there for? He said, that's the worst county in the state to work in. So Paul got started off in about the worst.
Well,
yeah.
But he got down there, and they gave him a hard time to begin with.
With health?
Well, with the health department and the sanitarium. And so he was getting a hard time everywhere he went. So he went down to Billy Patterson down in Gulf County.
Billy Patterson?
First time he went in, talked to him about putting up privies for all of his
yeah,
houses, tenant houses that he had his hands living
Billy
in.
Pat had to see.
And he told him he'd have his job. He says, I'll have your job 4 days out. Paul told him, if it was that easy to get, he could damn sure have it.
Yeah. I imagine Billy Pat done just as well.
No, he didn't.
He didn't get his
job. No, he didn't.
Billy Pat used to talk some more around there.
Well, he put in privies for all of the tenant houses down there, and he began to see things in a different light. And after he had sold his business, and we were living in Crystal River, and we were in the construction business, and he built his house down at Yankeetown, he let us build his house.
Is that
a... Oh. He sure did.
He
turned out to be one of the best friends Paul had ever lived in Levy County.
What's Paul's last name?
Patterson.
Bit Paul. Well, he wasn't no kin to Bibby Patterson.
No. Yes. Paul's name is spelled with two T's, and Billy's is with one T.
I didn't know that. What do you... let you all build his house,
now,
what do you mean?
We were in the construction business.
And you built Bibby Pat's house in Christmas?
That one
on the river.
It's 4,000 square feet now.
That's a big
house.
That's
a beautiful house.
Mm-hmm.
4,000.
Oh man, it's a mansion now.
That's not counting the garage and the boathouse.
Well, who is this Billy Patterson?
Billy Patterson is owned Gulf Hammer.
Pat
Mack. See, they was Patterson McKinney's at the big Gulf Hammock timber company.
Came from Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile down there. And they've been cutting Gulf Hammock out ever since I can remember.
And it's still timber.
Georgia Pacific Company bolted from Patterson.
They finally sold that whole tract of timber they had in there.
Billy Patterson.
But he lives on the Wapakoosa River down at Yankeetown.
Now, he was an outsider, just come in.
He's been there. Billy Pat grew up. I went to school with Billy Pat. Was in I can remember him when I was in grade school. But
had this tract of timber here, and his family was in the business out in Mobile too.
Mobile.
But he's lived here most of his
little Howard McKinnis and Billy Pat. They were both kids about like that when I. You never get to be a native. See, my daddy moved from Alabama, and I can't remember anything else. I'm 39, going on soon will be. And I'm not a native.
No.
You don't get to be a native. You're still an outsider unless you was.
He had one over in. He went in a restaurant over in Chiefland one day and. In the pie case, there were some flies in there, and he was writing up an inspection report. Well, he had on that report about the flies in the pie case. Well, that woman that run the restaurant, her husband was the barber, and she didn't like it because she hadn't got some clean bill of health that day on the restaurant, and her husband came over with a gun.
What
ordered
day
him
was
out
this?
Of the restaurant. What year was it?
Yeah.
He went down in 52.
Who's running that restaurant? Is that Josh Garner?
I don't know. Anyway.
I must have been that restaurant I went in not long ago, and they wanted a piece of pie. I said, yeah, what kind do you want? And I says, give me that raisin there. She says, it ain't raisin, it's lemon.
So that woman still got flies in the back, ain't it?
She just waved it off, and you could tell it was.
he had one down there at Yankeetown, he had a real thing about sanitation anyway. You know, we went down to Yankeetown, and here was this family that was living down there on the river, and they didn't have any toilet facilities or anything. Well, he insisted on that they put in a privet. I mean, as far as running water. Yeah. There wasn't any running water for baths, inside baths or anything like this. And that woman says, you can put it in, but you damn sure can't make me use it.
Make me use it, that's right.
I never heard that before.
Didn't see Ernie Ford, you know, on his program.
Is that on his program?
No, I say he pulled this on his program.
He used to take money out of his own pocket.
The director says that little... In the house, he said. I broke the show talking about no sanitary food. You know, I worked at Farmers Home Administration for 11 years.
Wait for what?
Farmers Home Administration. It was the old rehabilitation day. And the government would grant those poor people a sanitary privy if they were eligible. And the old lady there, she wanted one the worst in the world, but she wasn't eligible. She wasn't poor enough. She didn't keep on, wouldn't let her have. Now she got pretty rambunctious about the thing, and you know, Sears Roebuck Cadillac Company, anything starts, they're going to come in to get into the act, so they were selling them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do you know they ever got where
they from? Hell, they ordered one. I'm going to let you bring her some water, because I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
He's a water kettle boy. So she bought that one from Sears Roebuck and put it up out there behind her. She
warmed it up, babe.
And it didn't suit her. So she wrote Sears Roebuck that house she bought didn't suit her. And they advertised money back guarantee and throwing the money back. They wrote her back and says, well, due to the type of merchandise you bought, we'll have to have an inspection made before we refund your money. We'll have a man down in a few days. One morning, Doc Knock come on the door. She went and opened the door. A little fella there with his patent leather hair slicked down, a little goatee, you know, and his mustache. That was back before the hair era.
Yeah. Before what?
The Harry era, you know, but he had even been built. He always pretty good sizing, you know, for that. Says, Mrs. So-and-so, I'm
just put
book.
It down there, please.
I was sent to inspect your faulty merchandise. Well, all right. It's got a lid on it. Most of them come up automatic, too. So she started telling me, no, I'll have to look at it. So she went, it's out there behind the house. You want to look at it. So he went out there. He looked. The roof looked good. The wall's good. He could see the foundation good. Pulled the door open. The door looked good. Went inside. Couldn't see a thing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with this. Bench was solid, you know. And she got her a good size, huh? She got her a four holer, you know. Well, he didn't know what the matter was. He stuck his head down in there. He says, must be underneath. And he had his head down there looking around. He didn't see a thing the matter with him. He pulled his head out. He got that goatee hung. Jerk, a plunk. The old lady sat in there. She says, it's damned aggravating, ain't it, mister? Put a bench in it and cut your hole in it and put a croak sack on the door.
Yes.
And I see a robot catalog in the corner.
Yeah.
Well, Paul used to amuse me no end because he'd take money out of his pocket and buy a roll of toilet paper. Every time he put in a new prison somewhere, well, he'd leave a roll of toilet paper there.
Yeah, that first time that he used it in order to
they
robot.
Used it one time, they'd keep on using it, you know.
This family, they'd rolled all the paper off and got down to it and says, that was the damnedest Lambert's cob.
But you know, when he went down to Lee County.
Let me have the sponge, Faith.
And the guy that had been there before had done very little. I mean, all of his work was on paper and nothing to show for it. So after Paul had been down there a while, he had one of the consultants from the state office come down and he was going to work with him a few days and help him, show him enough to get by down there. And Paul said, well, now, I don't want to know enough to get by if I can't do this job the way it's supposed to be done. He says, I don't want it. So as they were riding around, they were seeing all these new prisons around. He said, so then, this man asked him, he says, how much time do you spend out collecting all these things? You know, because they could buy them and take $1 or $2 a week, you know. Paul said, well, the ones you've seen are paid for. Well, they began to take a different look at things, you know. And so while he was down there, he put through a hookworm program through all the food. He put a rodent control program through and worked that through the ag boys, put out the warfarin. The town councils, he went to town councils and they put up the money to distribute warfarin throughout the town. Down at Cedar Key was one of the places there where they began to give him a hard time about, you know, they didn't have any rats down there. Well, he was trying to tell them what those wharf rats have, what in dollars, what
well,
the wharf
cost,
rats would destroy. And they didn't believe it until they saw some of the dead wharf rats that turned up for the warfarin that they had put out. But when he left Levy County, the county commissioners gave him the nicest letter of commendation.
I think I remember
really
big tall fella.
I left there in 50. Must have been 52.
Well, he started in 52.
He's quiet. He never talked much, did he?
Who?
Paul.
Yeah, he can talk.
Well, I mean, he don't
talk. Paul Patterson. Oh, I think the name dropped. What's the matter?
He just hadn't had a chance where I was in the company I was seeing.
Oh. Sorry about that. Well, he's over wrestling with Duval County now. Yeah, got him a handful.
But this Billy Patterson, he could handle the thing.
Billy Patterson had a good little bit of weight, but you know, Doc, that old thing you call pressure is a pretty near thing to say.
Oh, don't tell me.
In some plateau, some area, at one time, you've got to control votes, you know.
You can't call Governor Askew and get him to fire somebody over there, because I don't think you could hire him to fire somebody.
No,
he didn't have a good reason to do it.
Didn't have a good reason to do it, you see.
But you used to cut.
With the advent of the vote, yes, sir.
We control votes. That had the pull.
Had the pull, and
get on the phone.
You can
somebody.
Buy Dixie County now. You could buy Cedar Key votes easy enough. You could buy the little old town. You can still buy Dixie County if you got the money. We go down and ask Fletcher McQueen when he runs for representative.
Well, they're one of the last counties to have a school superintendent without a college degree.
They put one back in office. People don't peddle votes much anymore. To some degree, now, why you get the influence of having money enough to back a campaign? Of course, Luther White holds he can't get nobody fired, but he contributes pretty heavy. All those road contractors do.
There was a time when he could, though.
There's a time when he could, that's right. But, as I say, Luther hadn't gotten quite big enough until that gone. Luther found that out and he didn't have. They'd like to put him in the penitentiary. The jury were just about ready to put him in the penitentiary. But Earl
didn't have all that when he was, when he had the Ford agency over in Williston.
But he bought that over there and moved it. See, he's made his money in the construction business.
He's made it in the last, how many years?
I'd say the last 10 years, 20 years or less, since World War II. Good little bit after World War II.
But there again, you had to have the right political
pull to get
the road contract.
His daddy and all was a representative. The old man Frank Bronson, old man.
Was his father-in-law?
Old man Frank Bronson?
No. He lived in Bronson. I just didn't forget his name.
Frank,
Marston?
Mm-hmm. Juanita's daddy.
What was that?
Frank Marston, and, Bjorn Bryce married one of old man Frank's daughters. And as little as you think, Carl Bryce has got to be, he weighs pretty heavy. Stay Carl is one keeps his mouth shut. Don't talk too much.
Yeah,
you've been over on the 26 Archer Road. All those trailer houses out there on the right, those modular owned cars putting that up out there. Carl Bryce is worth $15-20 million.
Just like that.
Levy County's loaded with millionaires. Take the Whitehurst boys down there. Old man Will lives over in Lockwood on but Vivian, Elliot and Dan. And Bill, they're worth several million in their own name. Luther White, Luther Drummond, people like that. Billy Pat. Billy Pat got $15 million. He got $7.5 million for the Gulf Ammo. And he got $7.5 million for something else. He and the Ocala Lumber Company was in cahoots. But Billy Pat, I'd say, is worth about $30-40 million. And property and
well,
money.
What did they about put Luther White in jail for?
Moonshine.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, he's in on it too.
He was in on it.
But he didn't do the moonshine. He just
financed T. Cannon. But Luther was in. He was handling it. Don't kid yourself. It was a big operation down there. It wasn't no pin. As I say, that was a tremendous operation.
Yeah.
But Luther got out of it by. He didn't try to lie. See, like the sheriff did. He admitted that he had bought to give T. Cannon $500, and he knew he was going to put up the moonshine stick. And that's all he knew. And Earl got him off by pleading guilty to a lesser offense. You know how that goes.
No, how was that?
Well, they didn't try him on his big offense. Say the state expense of a trial, and he pled guilty to a lesser offense, which he was guilty of moonshine. So then he got off with a big fine and probation. Sheriff had to do 2 years.
No, but he had he pled guilty to moonshining.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense wasn't.
It wasn't. You see, he was an accessory. He had financed and underwrote a boy to put up a stick.
Yes.
And he was guilty of that.
So they just fined him for that.
Fined him for that. See, and dropped the major charge
of moonshining.
Well, that he was moonshining. It was all connected together. But he was. Charged with operating a big operation.
Yeah.
Which they couldn't
that.
Approve that on him. It'd been hard to prove that on Luther.
I see.
So they just dropped that and let him plead guilty to a lesser offense. See, like I say, if you got caught drunk driving and reckless driving all at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard for them to prove drunk driving on you. So if you'll go ahead and plead guilty to reckless driving, then we'll drop the drunk driving charge.
Well, now, where was Earl Fairclough?
He's a lawyer. He was down in Miami at the time.
Earl, you know Earl, our state attorney, the attorney general that just
runs for governor. And
put
he's
out
an
old
Levy County boy, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, he was raised right across the field.
You must have seen one of his
he runs
TV
for governor.
Yes, I know that.
Campaigns,
about
and he brought in all of these Levy County people, these Chiefland old timers,
yeah,
to vouch
yeah,
for his honesty
too.
And his.
And he's crooked as a dog. Time
isn't
later.
That
didn't know Earl.
Oh, he did.
Yes, he had this interview with these people, and they were all these fellows from down in Levy County telling about how when he grew up. Poor boy and all this sort of thing, but how what a good
boy
he was,
right,
and
no two ways about
what a
that.
Fine fellow, and how he still looked out for his Levy County friends. I wonder how much he had to pay those guys.
I think, probably $10 a piece. But just the fact that they got on television, Earl Fairclough wouldn't give you 15 cents.
But you see what this Chevin's doing. He's cleaning up the place.
Well, let me tell you. You know, I liked Earl Fairclough on television, and I liked him in the newspapers.
Oh,
he talked honest.
And you voted for
did
him.
Did you think so?
He talked honest.
All of them talked honest.
He talked nice.
Did you think
where
that?
Did he learn to talk like that?
Did you
Earl
think Kirk talked
honest?
Earl Fairclough
here at the university. He's a good, Fullamore taught him how to. Earl was a good public speaker. He's one of the best orators you ever saw. So
oh, is that right?
Fullamore here.
Did
Kirk sound honest to you?
Kirk?
I voted for Kirk.
No, he's scallywag.
Last
Kirk.
Go around.
Well, I could stomach Kyle a whole lot better than I could ever stomach Kirk.
But now, Fairclough, he seemed to handle himself and be able to say the right thing. Nice.
He didn't go back to Chiefland to practice. When he finished law school, he got down to Dade County.
Well, I don't blame him. He was after money.
And he didn't ever pulled back on this Levy County bit until
he wanted to run
for
governor,
and then he pulls back on Levy County
and
brings all of his these old timers in.
He would have not made a good governor. This boy we got up there, I know Rubin, I know his people. He's a nice kid. That's about all he is. Rubin, we're going to have 4 years of no governor.
Why?
He's just not strong enough.
He's not strong enough. Well, that's nice. That's nice. Faye?
I think he's got cooperation enough, though.
He may have.
He'll hold
he may
a
have.
Job.
They'll make
here,
it.
I've got to go.
They'll make it.
I have to. I've got to go.
You can't eat a bite?
Really? Well, you aren't there any ham sandwiches, Rick?
Indigestion?
I've got to go. No, I should have went 2 hours.
Well, let me tell you.
Tell
me what to say to Miss Patterson when I go in. She
just say what you want to say.
Well,
the nurses said you did a lot of good yesterday.
Well,
you got her to eat, and they couldn't. She hadn't been eating to anybody. She won't eat to me. I carried a piece of cake.
Well,
she ate three bites and said she couldn't hold anymore.
Well, let me tell you, they correct people. That lady in there says,
well, I guess I'm wrong too, but I correct them too.
Says, oh.
Did you tell her that you were going to bring Pop in there where she could talk to him? She's been wanting everybody to go get Sal. She wants to talk to Sal.
No, she didn't bring that up. But let me tell you, the woman over there was, she's paralyzed halfway, half of her, and she was talking, that she had an awful strong voice, and she wanted somebody to take them stockings off. Her feet was burning up. And I went over there. I went over there and said, all right, I'll lighten it up for you. And she said it again. The nurse was there, and the nurse raised up the seat, and she says, you ain't got no stockings on. Well, now, you see, the lady barely alive, she doesn't have any energy, and she's in pain. And the nurse expects her to live in her world, and she's in her prime,
That's
you see.
Right.
That's
right. We so often make that mistake.
You go along with them, and they forget.
Well, I don't have imagination enough to go along with them either.
I don't know what you're doing.
He knows I don't.
Yeah.
That's what it takes.
But let me tell you, Bessie was over here, and Ben over there is losing his mind. Miss Daisy corrects him. He was out looking on to the corner of the carpets all around there, and Daisy says, what you looking for, Ben? Well, he says, I'm looking for money. What do you think? She says, ain't no money there. And Bessie said she told her that Ben was so near crazy, he'd turn on her sometime and kill her. And Bessie waited on a crazy woman for 5 years. And, you know, I've suffered from these people. One of Faye's mamas. Something happened to Faye one time, and I was a little upset out there, and what's the woman's name? Babs Kassam came in there, and she was going to say something to me. Now, she says, you're upset. Well, I thought, well, why in the hell wouldn't I be upset? But she couldn't talk to me unless I entered her world, and I was upset. There's a lot of that, you know. And when I think, you see, I'm not a nurse, but I can, and I don't do the right thing. I wait for people to get sort of give me a cue. And, but see, Mabel, people like that, I can lie as much as they can. And go right along with
right
it.
Along
you know,
with
we
it.
Understand each other. We're not telling the truth.
Well, it seemed like the people were going in there, Guy, and she was saying, oh, I've been up walking around, I've been doing this, I've been doing that. And
yeah.
They went away from there believing that
yeah.
She'd actually been walking and she'd been doing these things. And then they think, well, you know, what kind of people are Paul and Juanita to put her out there in this place when she can get up and
walk
do these things? Well, see, she can't.
Then you worry.
The only way she can get out of that bed is with just enough people. And I saw what it took to put her back into bed last Sunday afternoon.
Oh,
they put
yes.
her in the wheelchair.
Oh, yes.
Madeline and Aunt Emmy came. Paul and I were there. And Aunt Emmy and Uncle Paul,
yeah.
Madeline and Skeet both came. So since it was that many there, Paul and I told them, you know, we'd come back later on. And, so while we were gone, she gets tells Natalie to push her out that door. And Natalie didn't know any better than to do it. Now Aunt Emmy knew better. And it was cold last Sunday. And all she had on was a little bed jacket over a gown. And Aunt Emmy knew she doesn't have any. Well, Natalie thought she was pacifying her to push her out that door, but do you know when she got out that door, she wasn't going back inside. And Aunt Emmy had to go get the nurse to come and get her back inside because she was giving them a hard time. But she kept saying, now there was two cars there, and she was saying, go call Betty and tell her to call a cab to come pick me up. Well, if she had presence of mind enough to know what she was doing, she would have known Aunt Emmy's car was there, Natalie's car was there, and if you could call a cab, why call Betty to have her call a cab?
I gotta tell you, they had her out there one time when I was there, and she was sick in her stomach. She hardly hold her head up. I was standing out there with her.
she'd look over to me, and I couldn't hardly understand her that day. She'd say that door. She says, she'd look at the nurse over there, look at me, and she says, let's make a run for it.
Well, all you have paid
is the cutest thing I've seen.
Dr. C.
I said,
it was really
fun to
meet
you. I said, we'll do it.
Right.
We'll make a run for it. And then she subsides.
Well, when Manly got her out, Manly found out she had more than she knew what to do with.
Yeah, yeah.
So finally, Aunt Emma had to go back in there and get the nurse. And the nurse brought her on back in.
Yeah.
But then I said, Jan and Jean went out there. And Jan stayed, Jean came back to get us, Paul and I, because she was in that wheelchair and they couldn't get out of the wheelchair back in that bed.
Yeah.
And so she stayed in that wheelchair all afternoon simply because she refused to let them put their hands on her.
Yeah.
And so Paul and I got back out there and she didn't want to go back in that bed.
Yeah.
And it took five people.
The
nurse
think,
and four of those aides to put her back to bed.
Yeah.
And of course they thought, see, this was a new shift that came on at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And they thought we had taken her out of bed. One of the girls said, "Did you all take her up?" I said, "No, sir. We didn't take her up. She was, you know, up in the wheelchair when we came."
Well.
But they have been trying to get her up for a little while every day.
Yeah.
And this week she's been up, you know, for a couple of hours. But the first time they put her in that chair, she told that they left her in there 5 hours. She didn't stand there no 5 hours.
Oh, no. Well, let me tell you.
She couldn't have been in there maybe 2 hours.
Well, now,
isn't
she a little quieter now, or did it just take it by
itself? She's quieter. This week, since they moved her down there with that woman that hollers, she's been quiet.
Oh, really?
Really. And poor Ms. Williams, she had Ms. Williams worn out where she wasn't. She couldn't sleep night or day. See, she get at night time, then she'd want them to put the cat to bed, to put the cat out. This is Mrs. Upset Man Williams, because she can hear. She can't talk, but she can hear. And at times, there were days there where that would fail. And do something for Fail, and feed Fail, and give Fail water, and do this for him, and that, and the other. And so when they moved her out Monday, they moved her down on the other end. Well, she'll tell you, Miss Sanders gets to call in for all, she's with us still paying attention to her.
You ought to have me out there to quiet her down. I can talk to her.
You just go any time you...
Well, I mean, whenever you need me, you tell me. And I can go along with her. She quiets down.
Well, I have this book, you know, that folks down at Edmonton gave us
out